FCO, entity 0212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast, still coming to you from Austin, Texas, but soon to be coming to you from the road. I just got like a whole list of bookings, and that's what we are going to be talking about today. Road work, how to prepare yourself for road work, how to even begin to mentally prepare yourself for road work in this not necessarily post-pandemic world, but hopefully in the pandemic on the decline world. Because, man, it has been a year since some of us has had a gig. And we really got to knock the dust off these cables. There was a show that I saw recently, a conference where it was like, wow, do we really just have like 20 feet of cable rolled up on stage in a Q&A session? What's going on here? Like, have we just gotten sloppy, folks? So we're going to be talking to the amazing audio engineer out of Austin, Willis Snow, today. She is fresh off the road from a great little mini tour with the local group Ley Lines. We will be talking to her about the preparations for such a thing right now, how all of that went. What do you have to do to get your gear ready to get back on the road? Get yourself back in gear to be back on the road. All that and so much more in this episode when we come right back from this message from our sponsor. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultational workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code TALKING20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. That's right, folks. PodcastCadet.com. Stop on by today. Check that out. Sign up for one of their workshops. Full disclosure, I am one of the founders of Podcast Cadet. The whole reason I started that was because I saw friends getting really bad advice, whether it was equipment to buy that was like way out of budget for them and way beyond need for them, or whether it was folks that were trying to start a show for their business and just were putting a show together and weren't really branding it for their business. So feel free to stop on by, use the code TALKING20, and you will get 20% off your entire purchase. While you are there, please also make sure to stop on by our fellow sponsor, True Hemp Science. True Hemp Science is out of Austin, Texas. They are my CBD supplier. I have been using them almost exclusively for the last 3 years of my time on the road. My doctor came to prescribe me CBD actually as a recommendation for my anxiety. And it was right up around that time that I found Christopher Lynch, the founder of True Hemp Science, at a local farmer's market. And man, traveling the country, going to dispensaries, things like that, they are by far the best thing that I've found. Absolutely amazing stuff. Talking 7 is your code to be able to save 7%. Off your entire cart of $50 or more at TrueHemScience.com. Make sure to stop on by there. Use that code and you will also get two, count them, two 25 milligram edibles, either cookies or brownies, on your way out the door. So True Him Science, Talking 7 is the code. Our guest today and her website, willisnow.com. Welcome to the show, Willa. How are you?
Thanks, Chris. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Was that a shameless enough intro?
Not nearly shameless enough. You okay. Have more bells and whistles than maybe a confetti cannon or two.
Ooh.
I think then we'll be there.
I could get a ballyhoo. I need a ballyhoo in here.
Yeah, ballyhoo would do it.
I wonder if I could get some truss hung in this 10 by 10 room. I bet I could call somebody.
There we go. We know a guy.
yeah, we definitely know a guy. How have you been doing?
Been doing great. I'm tired.
Oh, I'll bet. Hey, you were actively out on show site until the wee hours of the morning in Fort Worth, was it?
Yeah, Fort Worth. I got to that at 4 a.m. last night.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and that's just it. And the thing is, coming in at 4 a.m. does not mean that you are going to bed at 4 a.m. You know,
no.
Like even if your dog tired, the drive alone will amp you back up inside, you know,
exactly. And then you get home and then like the whole unloading process. It's like, OK, now I need to wash my face. I should probably eat something, drink some water.
Yeah.
Say hi to the honey, you know, like connect to the cat.
Well, and just for those of you who are like, say hi to your honey, just so you know, her honey is also an audio engineer. So he was coming home from a gig at the same time.
Oh, yeah. We don't sleep. Sleep for the dead.
Well, you know, it's really funny that you say that, because that was part of what I wrote in this episode description was like, and even said in the intro, is how do you prepare yourself? Like my joke, as you know, Willa, I went from the world of rock and roll into the world of corporate AV. And my joke has the whole time has been like, man, this thing's just breaking in nap time.
Yeah.
Like it's 10 a.m. It's supposed to be nap time right now. I've been at home with my kid for the last year. Like, I'm supposed to get a 30-minute eye close right now. What's going on?
We're catering. I'm supposed to have a coffee break with really weird pastries.
Yeah, exactly. So what has it been like for you over just the last couple few months getting prepared, not only physically but mentally, for the rigor that it takes to spend 18 hours a day working?
Well, it's still an adjustment period, because I mean, I'm sure you're going through this too, of like realizing, going back into it, that some of the habits and coping mechanisms that you had before the pandemic don't really work anymore. At least for me, that's how it's been.
You know, interesting.
So like, yeah. So like my way of just kind of like going through it. I mean, I remember, at the beginning of the pandemic, when I was doing my 2019 taxes, and I was like calculating all the miles that I drove for work, I realized that for about 80% of the year, I was pulling double shifts. So I'll have like a morning corporate or Bass concert hall gig, and then I'll have a rock show in the evening. And I remember going through all of that and thinking, wow, no wonder I was so fucking tired all the time.
Yeah,
like,
man.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now, like, getting back into it, I mean, there was definitely like a, I mean, I started getting back into work in February, because I was very lucky that I had a friend of mine, based in Florida, that had some corporate work come up. So it was a really great like first foray back into the industry, because it was very cushy. It was in a fancy hotel on the beach, and it was all like this religious corporate thing.
So it was
all fairly simple.
Yeah, we've got a 10-foot truck to load in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there were definitely some challenges, because that was like the worst crew that we had. So our bodies definitely took a beating, because she and I ended up having to like pick up the slack quite a bit, and like end up having to undo and redo a lot of work that our quote help, like they did their best. I'm being mean. They did their best, but like we had to redo a lot of stuff, and like it was a 2-day load in for a simple show. That took like 4 hours to load out. So it was ridiculous. But so that was like a pretty good, like first jet back into things because, like, we had, you know, good 4 hour blocks in the middle of the day to go and rest. And like, we were eating really well. And so that was like a good first step. And then I was working, I had a day job at Guitar Center at the time too. So like, I was working full time and then I was starting to be flown out for these gigs. And it was really weird at first. Cause I mean, in February, I wasn't vaccinated. So, and I was, and I didn't know this before I went out, but Florida didn't have a mask mandate. And And I was the only, like, more often than not, I was the only person in an entire ballroom of people with a mask on. So that was really uncomfortable a lot of the time. But I was doing paid really well. So, you know, it's like, I was able to get tested, and I kind of like social distance as best as I could, but also when you're in an enclosed space with 100 people that you don't know, and it's like, it was tough, and weird, but also like it was hard to get past, man, I'm like at work and I don't even care that it's just one person on one mic for an entire 3 hours, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is just interesting. And it just, it made my heart so happy. And the fact that I was working with one of my best friends as well, that just made everything incredibly wonderful, and it made my heart feel so, so full. And I got back home, and even though like I was sore from loading a 10 foot truck with like, you know, triangle truss and a few like single par lights and a couple of QSE speakers.
It was like uplight sticks for the back of the room.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's like all of this really old, like it was great. And like, I came home like, when can I go back out again? Let's do this again. Let's go. Like, I miss this. My heart. And then as time went on, like things started to trickle back in and I started to get some calls from people, and I picked up a club gig in Georgetown. I started doing some of those, and then it just kind of like started to slowly snowball. And then while I was also at Guitar Center, I connected with one of my newest clients, Zach Person. And I ran sound for him at a little outdoor coffee shop gig last December, and he came in to buy some strings, and we just reconnected, and he hit me up 2 days later with a slew of dates and said, "Hey, you available?" And I said, "Yep." And
you bet.
I quit my job at Guitar Center. Like, yep, bye, I'm out.
Not that Guitar Center doesn't need good people, Willa.
It's true. It's true. And I love
they need really good people. But
they do. And it was a really great job. It was like the people they were great to work with, and like, you know, and it was good hours and decent pay, but it's also like, this is not what I'm here to do.
Well, you know? No. And you know, one of the comments that I made in the actual description of this episode was the difference between a weekend warrior sound guy and a professional audio engineer.
Right.
You are a professional audio engineer. This is what you do for a living. It's not a hobby. It's not like you go plug in, you know, a few inputs at a club into a powered mixer, you know?
Right.
You are setting shows up from the ground up every night, different venue, same person, things like that. You over the many years that I've known you, have shown yourself to be more than the Swiss Army knife of a technician that it takes. Because, I mean, when you're on the road with even your recent little mini tour with Ley Lines, things like that, when you're on the road like that, even especially now in the modern day and age, baby, you're a broadcast technician too. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You know, like that's been my joke over all this is like, I spent years trying to get out of a broadcast studio and now I'm back in one. Now you have by default forced me back into live broadcast.
Right? Back in your box.
Yeah. Now can we all just agree that we'll do it live? Can we just agree with that and skip all the rehearsals that take 2 days? Can we just get to that point already? If we're just going to all be live broadcast techs again? Because only live broadcast technicians and people in what we do will know where that moment comes from. You know, and the utter joy of it inside when it happens.
Yes.
It's like,
yes.
Told you this wasn't going to work, man. So, what has it been like for you, especially in that little mini tour that you did recently? What were some of the things that that you came up against that maybe you had forgotten about, you know, in that year not being on the road? As far as were there any bumps in the road that y'all came up against?
Well, the first one is a pretty basic level.
Oh.
For me, which I did time, and I was like, "Oh my god, I know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. Like, I wanted to make sure I had options, and like, I wasn't sure if I was going to need all of my rain gear. I brought all of it because I didn't know if I was just going to need the rain jacket or if I was going to need the boots as well, and like, so, and I didn't know if I was going to have the opportunity to do laundry. So I was just like, I'm taking a full size suitcase. So I felt very embarrassed about that, but. Luckily, we had just enough room in the van because we were only traveling with instruments and a mic package and luggage for that run.
Oh wow!
Actually, no, we were traveling with a console. We were traveling with a console and cables as well, because there was one gig where they weren't providing any sort of usable system. So we did bring a system with us. And then the second run, we brought console, cabling, and a wireless in-ear rig as well. Mm. So that took up even more space. So I definitely made sure to do my part and like pack small. But I do learn very quickly. Like, here's what I'm definitely going to need for a 10-day run. Here's what I'm not going to need. And, you know, here's like one extra thing as a treat just in case, you know?
Yeah.
It was interesting kind of getting used to just that little thing again. And then as we were prepping to go out, the girls wanted to get, microphones, like vocal microphones, because they had instrument mics, but they didn't have any vocal mics. And we have been talking about getting them set up with really good vocal mics for a while.
Yeah.
And it came down to two options, and the choice we made was simply because it was available, because the back orders are ridiculous right now.
Oh yeah.
Like, so it came down to like the Shure KSM9s, which they really, really love, and the Neumann KMS-105, which is what we ended up going with, the Neumann KMS, because there were four available that we could get before we left. And the Shures, unfortunately, they're not available right now, which is a bummer. But you know, we're going with Shure for our ears, so we're making it up to them. But you know, still, it was just like that. This is what is available, and you know, we have to spend a little bit more money, but they're still really great mics, and we're really happy with them. So it all worked out. But you know, choices are narrow for when you're purchasing. That's it. When you're purchasing gear, like you're thinking about, like with your band, okay, we're going to need this piece of gear and this piece of gear.
Yeah.
Is it available? Can you even obtain it at this point? A lot of the times right now, the answer is no. And that's across the board, not just with microphones and audio gear. It's in instruments, it's in lighting, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
So, and we ended up going through some car trouble too, because our AC went out this past run. And we were talking about, I know, it was horrible.
Oh God, that's rough.
We were trying to figure out. Oh yeah,
you could take me through 2 days of not eating before I deal with that.
Exactly, especially in the South, man. Like driving through Georgia
That's jungle hot. That's tough. Like, we live in Texas, folks, and we're like, wow, that's hot.
Yeah, exactly. But see, Texans survive.
Yeah,
off of AC. Like, that's how we get through our 150 days. Like, we have AC, and that's the only reason we stick around. You know, because we can stay inside for really, really hot months. But anyway, like, we were trying to figure out how can we source a new car. Let's sell this one for parts and get a new one while we're in, because we had 2 days off in Nashville.
Mm.
And it wasn't available because Ford is experiencing huge back orders. Yep. Because the manufacturer of a certain microchip within their cars is complete. Their factory is backlogged.
Yeah.
So there's everything everywhere is just stopped. So yeah. It's hard to get resources right now, and that's a challenge that's really weird and difficult to overcome.
It's really been interesting to see that. I actually went out not too long ago to San Diego to install a studio in a friend's house, a podcast and home radio station studio, and just going to Guitar Center, it was like going to the grocery store at the beginning of the pandemic. It was like, wow, look at this. Like, the walls are bare. Like, I had never walked into a Guitar Center where, you know, sometimes you got to run on things. There's a new model comes out, and because that's out of stock, people will buy the previous model, you know?
Right.
Because they were excited, like, all kinds of stuff. But it was like, I remember my birthday last year going fishing and for my birthday, and I went to Academy down the road just to go get my license and stuff like that for the fishing guide. And it was the same way because, hey, what else were you going to do? Like fishing, you can't get more socially distant than that, right? You're out on a boat in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
But it was just strange to walk into Guitar Center and it was like shelves were bare. It was like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We would have people come in every day asking, like, are you guys closing? Mm. Like, what's going on? And we're like, well, as soon as we get a new shipment, it leaves. Like, we'll fill the shelves, but by the end of 2 days, it's all gone. Because, I mean, everyone's sitting at home.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's great that they're learning music. I'm all for that, you know, and trying new production things. Like, awesome. Yes. It's also really weird to walk in and it's like, sorry, we don't have anything. But, you know, there is free 2-day shipping when you buy from us. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because one of the things that I've always recommended to people is, especially if you're going to be on the road and you're going to be moving like that, to buy equipment that is readily available.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, you know, kind of like the Neumann that you were just mentioning a second ago, where those are available at most of your guitar centers, stuff like that. That's something where you could hop onto a Sweetwater or a B&H and order it in Nashville and have it waiting for you in Atlanta when you show up 2 days later, you know?
Kind
of stuff. And it's so important to have that kind of presence of mind as the technician and somebody, because a lot of that mentality came to me because I worked on the road with jam bands and stuff like that. And they, you know, jam bands, they've all got their own little toys on their pedal board. And man, without that toy, I don't know how I'm going to play this song. And it's like, well, you should really think about that. And you should really find another solution other than that boutique pedal dude that makes like 20 versions a year. And that's what he makes. Hop on the 3-year waiting list. You know, cool sound, but what's going to happen when that integral part of your sound goes down? You know, is it something that's easily replaceable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're going to build an entire piece around a specific sound, like, better figure out plan B in case the sound goes away. Absolutely.
Well, and, you know, especially with a group like Leylines, who you've been working with for a while now. I remember
a little bit. Yeah.
Even during the pandemic, they were doing the series that was out in the garden, doing the with the bamboo and everything else. I loved the fact that they were bringing in things to actively record the bioelectronic sound of plants and make that generate music and play with it. And
That was with Andrea Cortez. Yeah, that was awesome. And that was really cool. That was with that was an amazing gig.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, very unique sounds, both in that as well as Leylines. And it is one of those that a lot of that is the microphone that's used. A lot of that to capture the nuance of performance that they do, the harmonies that they perform, things like that. So let's go into a little bit of why you chose the KMS 105. Not just because of availability, but what leads to some of the speccing and stuff like that? Because that's probably one of the biggest questions I get from people, even about podcasting, is like, what kind of microphone do I need to get? And it's like, I always start with, what do you want to sound like? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, how do you want your quality of voice to be? Like, what is it that you're trying to capture?
Yeah.
With Lineline, they sing very softly, and they have a lot of nuances and dynamic range within their voices. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a microphone that was able to work with a quiet stage, and had more of a high-end sparkle, and something that was a lot more sensitive to, like, changes in vocal tone and that sort of thing. So that leads to a condenser mic. And there aren't a whole lot of options, at least budget-friendly options, available for condenser mics that are stage-friendly and tour-friendly.
Yeah.
I was really looking at the KSM 9 from Shure.
Oh yeah.
That has a dual capsule cardioid pattern, and like, also because it's dual capsule, you sort of proximity effects, and then also you're able to kind of be off axis and still be picked up really well. So it's not like a ridiculously directional microphone. And Leyline, they kind of sway with their music and they get really into it, and their bodies move. So having the off axis option for a couple of them was really, really helpful. And we demoed it, and they really loved it. And like, it was a nice sound. It was very clean. And so that was great, but it wasn't available. So I reached out to some other engineer friends of mine and asked, okay, well, what do you guys like? Like, let's remove budget. What do people use for stage and for touring? What stands up to the rigors of the road? That's not a Shure product, or at least, I mean, I don't mean to say that we're ignoring Shure completely, but like, that's not the KSM9. And a friend of mine, who works for a company called Lectrosonics in New Mexico, is the vice president of sales, Carl Winkler, worked at Neumann before he moved to Lectrosonics. And he, told me about the KMS. And he actually, had an instrumental part in developing that microphone. So I reached out to him, to ask him, like, hey, what do you remember of this microphone? Was it super directional? How was the sound quality? Was it really even? Did it have any, like, high-end spikes or anything like that? So I don't want something that's spiky. I want something that's fairly flat and graceful in the high end, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have, like, a really guttural, like, these are female voices. And that's another thing. Like, I'm miking women that are mostly mezzo-soprano and higher in terms of their vocal range. So I don't want something that, like, will enhance like the 250 low mid hertz, because it's like that. I mean, a lot of time, like Sennheiser and Shure products, they're really great for male vocalists, but not necessarily for females. That's just how it works out, you know?
They're made for a much more all around sound, period.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so with Neumann, For a really decent price, like, I mean, we were looking at DPA too. DPA put out a new microphone called the 2028 I demoed with Zach Person. That mic made me cry. It's so good. It's awesome. That thing is great. You can have a singer in front of a loud drummer and it'll be clean and clear as a bell and not an extra overhead. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a condenser microphone.
DPA has come into the industry strong with their presence and have blown me away with their. I met them first actually at the Texas Association of Broadcasters when they came out with their like portable record rig for reporters. You know, just plug it into your iPhone, and it was a fully preamped lapel mic. I was like, wow, the quality is phenomenal.
Yeah, they are worth the price that they have. Like they are definitely, but they're also very pricey and ley line. We're on a budget. So it's like, okay, what can we do? Mm. And we looked at the Neumann and, not going to lie, I had a little bit of a discount available to me. So I bought them and we tried them out and the band really, really loved them. And they got really into learning like microphone technique and really learning how to play a microphone and how to, sing into it correctly. Like we talked about, like, how close ideally you need to be. And we figured out it's like two fingers away from the mic is like the best spot for that microphone. And then you can be a little bit off axis, but try not to be too off axis. And it's a very directional mic, which is great, especially for a loud stage. Mm. And this stage is very, very quiet. So that's not too much of an issue, but it is also nice to have, like, especially in small rooms, to have that tightness of the polar pattern. So it's a great mic, and we really love using it. And especially when we've got like every single input aside from two are condenser mics with the Leyland setup, and I have 16 inputs. So it's not a big setup, but they're all condenser mics. So you put that in front of wedges, it's a little tough.
It could get a little squealy.
But you know, like even so, like it can take really good gain structure. Like you can really pump some juice into those microphones and they'll be pretty stable. And there isn't too much carving that you have to do to make a wedge sound decent with those things. So
wow.
It's like especially in the club that we were in for that run, like very small rooms, old rock and roll places, you know, like those are like punk rock, pour a beer in the wedge. Hey, it still works. It's fine. Kind of situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like we're going in with stellar gear. So like the fact that the microphone was really reliable was great. And also like they're just really hardy too. Like the actual chassis of the microphone feels like a piece of machinery, and it definitely doesn't feel fragile. Like, it's an expensive mic, but it feels like it could handle being transported and used and thrown around in the back of a van. So, yeah. Like, that, it worked out really, really well for us. So we really loved it. And then we moved, for the second room, we moved to doing wireless in-ears, and that was their first time working with in-ears. And then it was just like the whole world opened up for them. Like I was able to get higher gains out of it than I could before. I could have flatter microphones.
Yeah.
And it made my life a lot easier. And then the girls figured out how to mix their own in-ears. And then they could hear everything as clearly as they needed to. Cause we had stereo mixes for them. So they were able to pan things. They do, if y'all haven't heard Leyline, go to leylinesound.com. They're amazing. They are just going to throw that in there.
Shameless promotion.
Their music. Yes, shameless promotion. Their music is really special, and they do a lot of 4-part harmonies, like fairly consistently throughout all of their music. So they really need to be able to hear each other and hear their instrument, and their instrumentation is not traditional in terms of Western music at all. So everything needs to be exactly the way that they need it to be. So having the ability to have accurate replication of their instrumentation with in-ears and condenser microphones is amazing for us.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that process was, you know?
It's really been interesting to see how the world of live engineering has changed with in-ear technology and mm-hmm. the ease with which that happens now. It used to be so much more involved than what it is now. And now, especially with the, like you were saying, the mic stand mounted mixers where people can submix their own mix, that kind of stuff. It's a world of different. And it really does. Not that monitors are not important, folks. I've always told folks, if you want to get into the heat real quick, we had Michael Babcock, actually the author of In the Hot Seat, the Professional's Guide to Monitor Engineering, on the show. And yeah, like mm-hmm. monitors are the hot seat. They're like, you better be able to pick up on lingo quick Because if that person is not happy with their mix, it will translate over those main speakers real quick.
Absolutely. And like, I prefer to be a front of house engineer, like, absolutely. Sure. But I take the job, like, I mix monitors from front of house all the time. And monitors, like, that's incredibly important for me. Like, whether it's a wedge or on ears, it doesn't matter. Yeah. If my artist is happy and my artist is comfortable and they feel safe and they feel like they can talk to me if something is wrong. Like, that was a really great thing with Leyline, because, like, being women in the industry, they're so accustomed to being written off and disrespected and ignored. Yeah. And also gaslit. It's not just for women. This happens to musicians all the time, no matter what your gender identity is, like, front engineers who are having their own bad day. And, like, if a musician tells you, "I'm hearing something," fucking believe them, y'all. Like, they hear something. They may not have the same technical language that you do, but that is literally your job, is to figure out, okay, this person is hearing something. This person doesn't feel comfortable on stage. This person is not getting what they need from the monitor. So it is my job to figure out and translate musicianese into engineerese and help them. So, like, with Leyline, we had a lot of conversations about, like, what is needed. And they have very specific monitor requirements, even song to song, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate, the ukulele and percussion player, she and I had a lot of really good conversations, because she hears high end in her teeth. Like, she can feel it. And it's physically uncomfortable for her. So it's like, okay, how can I make you not physically uncomfortable? It took them a couple of days to get used to working with me, because they had had so many bad experiences of just being written off and being gaslit and told, "Oh yeah, you're not hearing anything. You don't hear anything. It's fine." And it's like, no.
Or just getting the magic wave. Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's good, right?
Yeah. And it's like, no, it's not good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And for me, like, it was funny. Like, even in clubs, like, I'll have, like, people come up and, like, I'll ring out their wedges and like, you know, we'll get the mix kind of going, and like, I'll see someone make a face. So I'll go up to them and be like, "Hey, is everything okay?" Like, "Oh yeah, no, it's fine." I'm like, "Yeah, but is it though? Is it?" And it's like, I don't want to just be told that it's fine. Like, sure, I would love to be told that it's perfect, but like, it's not going to be perfect, you know? Especially if I'm meeting you for the first time. And it's like, and I know I'm doing a good job when you're telling me that something is not right and working with me to get the sound right, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm off my soapbox now.
Well, no. But I mean, it's so important, Willa. And I think one of the episodes I did a few seasons ago was audio engineers, the curmudgeons of an industry. People are so used to the salty engineer, you know?
Right.
They're used to that guy that sees like 5-6 bands a night, 5 nights a week, things like that. And then he's off at a church one night a week. So he really only has one night a week off, all that kind of stuff. And it's hard, because that it is such an intimate level of trust. Nothing rang to me more than, as a house engineer, than when a band would ask me to come be their engineer, would ask me to come produce their sound live. Like, that meant something to me. And it was normally those bands that, like, I had that connection across the audience with, you know, like you were saying, like, I could see that John wasn't happy on the guitar, and I could normally tell, like, what he was unhappy with. It was those unspoken connections, and that, even as Michael Babcock put it, that shorthand from the trenches, you know, you really do become a master of body language in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you work together consistently.
Yeah.
You really figure out you speak each other's language, and mid-show you can tell, like, okay, so she's not hearing what she needs to hear. So I need to boost this. And then he's got too much of that. And like, I can tell that he's in pain right now. So let's bring that down. And like, let's make sure that everyone's hearing is protected. And then, and like with Zach and Jake, we developed hand signals. And I do my best to keep my eyes on the stage at all times. And like, they'll give me like C, like a hand C for click, or, and they'll do like up or down, or, you know, like they'll lean back, like Zach will lean backwards and point his left, his, right shoulder towards the bass amp if he needs more bass in his ears. Like we figure things out and we're able to make it so that it's not an obvious thing to the audience. So we're still kind of honing that in because it is still a very new thing.
Sure.
But, like, for the most part, that's what we try to do. And that helps, like, especially if something changes mid-show, which it more often than not does. You are able to make the changes to, so that the artist can keep having a blast and keep entertaining and keep the audience happy, you know? And then the audience buys more drinks and then the venue's happy and everyone's making money and it's great. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
and what, I mean, how was the show received across the, y'all were over like mid East Coast area, right? Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. The first trial and lay line was through the Midwest and we went up to the furthest point was Stevens Point, Wisconsin and back. Then we did a slew show. Yeah. And then the second run was 15 days and that was, all along the East Coast and we went up to, I think the furthest point, I mean, we did Georgia, we drove through Tennessee, we did, oh my gosh, all of those on the, I don't remember all of them, but anyway, like we went up to DC, Connecticut, like we went all the way up to, Ithaca as well, and we had, I think we had a few gigs, we had a couple days in Pennsylvania, so we were kind of all over the Eastern Seaboard as well there, or Eastern Coast, I guess I should say. So it was interesting because a lot of times we were people's first show out of COVID.
Mm.
And the Midwest, they don't, it's a market that they haven't quite broken into yet. So, a few of the shows were smaller and more intimate. And then a couple of them sold really, really well. And like it had people, we did a couple of free shows with, the Levitt Amp concert series, which is, this really cool organization that builds, provides free entertainment or they'll help build, performance centers, like community performance centers, and they'll put on a concert series during the summer that for communities. That don't get access to music all the time. So that was a really cool thing to be a part of. Yeah. And that has like a built-in audience because like we were going to really small towns, where they don't get much of anything. And then here we come with our very unique sound. And like these people have never heard anything like it. Like most people in the world have not, like there is nothing like Leyline. There really isn't. Anything like them. And as soon as they start playing, it's incredible the reaction from people that have never heard them before. It's just, Leyline has a way of like capturing people's hearts. And they, like there was one show that we had, where it was a rainy day and it was a community concert. And so everybody was there and hanging out and like wanting to, and they were happy to just like be around each other and everyone was talking to each other. Leyline is a listening experience. They're not a party band.
Yeah.
So they, they played a few songs and they weren't really being listened to. So they, it was funny. Lydia brought out her teacher voice and she's like, you know, I think we have a challenge for everybody. We're gonna take a collective breath together and we're just gonna like breathe together. We're gonna take the biggest breath that we've ever breathed all day and then we're gonna have the biggest exhale. And then like, and each band member like led a little meditation. Like they got the entire room of really rowdy people that were excited to just be together to quiet down, calm down and connect. And just ground and be present in that moment and have an exchange of energy that was, and it was so powerful. And like for the rest of the show, people were dancing. They were so engaged and they were just really glued in. And like, that was the most uproarious applause that we had had. And especially being a lot of people's first concert out of COVID, like that's for us, like that's a huge honor. Cause it's like, wow, you chose us to be your first experience coming back out. Like, wow, thank you. And that's a huge responsibility on us energetically and just like morally, you know?
Yeah.
And Laneline has such a beautiful and magical way of connecting with people and getting them to feel love again, to open back up emotionally and kind of help move through the trauma that they've experienced over the past 18 months. And there's still a lot going on right now and there's still a lot to go through, but they do provide a healing experience for their audiences. And it's really an honor, like for me as an engineer, to help them do that. Because I believe in them, I believe in their mission, and I bring my own own skill set to the table, where it's like, I'm not just like making them louder. I'm adding in effects to help enhance the message of a song and help and bring people in. And it's just, it's all like just collectively moving vibration. We're getting metaphysical now here, Chris. So,
well, yeah, that's what the job is, though. And so many people don't understand that.
It
seems like it's a cold process to move faders and knobs. And do you know what all those buttons do? Yes, I do. And I know them intimately. They're my friends. It was not too long ago, actually. About every year I go up to Pennsylvania and videotape my friend's dance school. This year it was going up and doing a live stream, and his wife runs the dance school. She came up to the tech booth and was just, I turned around and caught her kind of like grinning in the doorway as I was setting up all of my video gear and talking to my equipment I set it up.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh yeah, we're going to get you over here, buddy. We're good. How you doing? You doing okay? You know, and does everybody in your industry do that? I was like, in our own special way. Yeah. Like, our gear is our friend, and our gear is our conduit to the audience, you know? So, the same way any guitar, the same way Willie Nelson's used Trigger for the last 60 years, you know, like, man, I don't know. I've still got cameras out there that I've had for 20 years. They are far out of date, Willa. They helped start my business. What am I supposed to do? Just pawn shop them? You know?
No.
Like,
never.
Come on.
No. Yeah, like they're your tool. They're your instrument.
That's,
you know,
just
like that. It's an instrument, and especially like, I mean, regardless if you're doing lighting, video, or audio, it's instrumentation, especially when it comes to music. And like, you have to have a musical sensibility in order to do your job really well.
Yes.
And that goes for lighting, video, as well as audio. Even backline, shoot. Like you have to have that sense of musical timing in order to like figure out your cues and, how to, add but not obscure, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Like I want to enhance Leyline's sound. I don't want to completely cover it.
Yeah.
I don't want to distract. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the phrase that's coming to mind right now. So, this is a very makeup-y thing. So my mother, when she taught me how to wear makeup, she used to tell me, you don't want your makeup to wear you. You have to wear the makeup. So like, when you walk into a room, you don't necessarily, I mean, sometimes you do. Like sometimes I do want people to tell me, hey, your purple eyeliner looks fucking badass. Absolutely. Because I spent time on this. So like, but also at the same time, you don't necessarily want it to wear you. Like it's there to enhance you. It's the Bobby Brown principle. Like it's there to bring out what's already there,
that's,
you know,
right,
and just like make it a little more polished. So that's kind of how I approach sound. I mean, unless the band tells me go fucking nuts, in which case, absolutely, I'll throw in crazy delays and shit. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
But like, for the most part, I try to just be like, okay, what do you want to sound like? What things do you like? What things do you don't like?
Mm.
and let's create a sound that's uniquely yours, and I'll do my best to replicate that, and I will work with you on it. I'll provide recordings for you, and we can work on it together. Because I want to make sure that I'm making you sound like you. Like that's as a front of house engineer, I'm supposed to make you sound the way that you want to sound. And especially if you're an artist, you don't get to hear that from the first person perspective live. Like that just doesn't happen. So
yeah, you know. No, it's so entirely important. And what I love is on your website, you actually have on there, when you ask me to mix your sound, you are asking me to become a part of your project. That is something that I have told people for years and years that I think escapes so many audio engineers and really, really does bring you, Willa, and something that you may come to later in life is the world of producer. You know, I mean, that's it, and literally crafting that for other people, because that's so much of what an engineer does, and such a special relationship to have. Whoop. Oh, we lost her.
Are you there?
Yes, there Hello? You are.
Hello.
Hello.
Ah, there you are. Sorry, I lost you for a second.
That's okay. It's all right.
All right. So, okay, I lost you at, you were referencing my website, which thank you for doing that. I appreciate
it. Oh, absolutely. Shameless. If you're not being shameless, it's go home.
Yes. Okay.
But yeah, becoming part of a project. And, you know, like I was just telling the audience, for me, it's the fact of it. You are, and for somebody to come to you like the bands did to me and like they do with you, saying, hey, I love the way that you make us sound live. We would love for you to make us sound like that all the time. It's such an honor. And it is the fact that, you know, don't be surprised if later in life you find yourself wearing the producer hat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got my start in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I bring some of that to the table when I'm doing this. I mean, I kind of fell in love with the impermanence of live audio versus like the looming responsibility of, oh my God, this is going to be recorded and preserved forever.
I had my experiences in the studio and I enjoyed them. I always enjoyed my broadcast studio experiences, but the reason I enjoy broadcast, the reason I really enjoy corporate over everything, is it takes me right back to my beginnings in all of this in theater, where it's like, we're going to spend a month and a half building sets, and after a week of show we are going to have a party and destroy all the sets, and they'll never be used again. Maybe some light costuming will be used, but everything will be raised at the end of it, and none of it will ever be used again. And it's literally like that creation of a moment of art and experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why when I found corporate AV, I ran arms wide open, because it was that experience again of like, wow. Yeah, like we're building huge set pieces and like experiences that people walk through to get into another part of the show, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just mind-boggling sometimes, and it's so great to be a part of that. It really is. Go ahead.
It's such an honor.
Well, for you as an engineer, what advice do you give for engineers coming up? Because it's kind of that time in your career now that you start lifting those underneath you up and kind of finding those. That's kind of why I started doing labor and stuff like that, was like it was that time for me. I had the connections. I knew the clients' needs. I knew the people that could provide it. You know, and to be able to lift other people into the industry is so fantastic. So what are the next steps for you right now? What are you looking at?
I mean, like going back to lifting other people, like I've been lifted up so much in this industry. I have an amazing support network of people all over the industry, in manufacturing, in systems teching, in studio, like literally everywhere, that support me and answer my questions. And the biggest thing is, like, ask questions, and it's okay to ask questions. And even though so I got into podcasting over the pandemic, and I fell into a really amazing group of people at the Pro Sound Web Network. And I actually got to meet one of the guys I've been podcasting for the past year with, in person at one of our New York shows. And it was so great to, he's so much taller in person. So his name is Michael Lawrence, and he's a systems tech based in upstate New York. He's so tall. Like, wow. I did not expect that. But he and his girlfriend came out to a show, a late night show. And like, it was great to finally meet him in person. And like, he runs a podcast called Signal to Noise. And he started the podcast because he wanted to have an excuse to ask questions, you know, and a really good way to ask people who are, quote, out of your league, get a hold of them and ask them questions and be like, well, I have a podcast, so I'm going to invite them and just interview them. But really, it's for my own benefit, you know, like that's where the idea started. What I've come to realize from participating in that group is that, like, no one is really out of your reach in this industry. Like, I can, cold email, you know, like the front of house engineer for Billie Eilish and be like, hey, dude, I'm going to be in this area that I think that you're based out of. If you would like, you can come and hang out at the show, and I'd love to buy you a beer and just like, hang. And more often than not, the answer is going to be like, yeah, absolutely, because we all are nerds and we love to hang out with each other and like exchange stories and just be around each other. Hey, there they are. So, and it's a really amazing community of people that just love to share. And Michael, Chris, and Kyle have become like my older brothers in the industry and like dearest friends. I can literally text any of them at any point in time and be like, hey, dude, I have a question. They're like, okay, here's a possible answer. And they'll like help. And like, I've called Michael so many times, like over the past several months of like, hey, buddy, I'm having trouble with a thing. Can you help me troubleshoot? And he'll troubleshoot with me over the phone, which is incredible. And like Kyle gives me amazing advice and emotional support, and we support each other with like crazy mental health shit. And like Chris, like he is such an amazing professional dude, and like his roster of people that he knows all over the country is incredible. So it's like I can lean on these people, and these are big deal people in the industry to me.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
also just, they're just people. They're just, and they're my personal friends now, because like I reached out to Michael at one point, like 2 years ago on LinkedIn, and like we've just been connected, and then I got invited onto the show, God knows why, and they just kind of kept me. So I'm like their pet, you know? So it's like, and then I slowly upgraded myself to be like the kid sister. But you know, it was like all of these people, like you can just reach out and you can ask. So like,
yeah,
for anybody wanting to. So like, I have access to these resources, and now I'm finding myself in a position where I can be asked questions, which is a really weird thing for me, but also a really cool thing. And I don't consider myself an expert. I mean, I know things, and when I start talking, it's like, wow, I actually do know things. That's crazy.
You know a lot. You know a lot, lady.
Thanks. I know
a lot of technicians. All over the country. You are hands down one of the best audio people I know, Willa.
Oh, my goodness, Chris. Thank you so much. But I had lunch with somebody the other day, and she's new to the industry, and she's like, how do I get involved? And I'm like, well, what do you know? Okay, here's where I can start you at right now, and here's some people I can connect you with, and here's some resources, and here's this. And like, so many people have done that for me, and it's, I'm overjoyed that I get to do that now. I get to do that for other people.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. It's amazing. Next step is like, I'm just going to keep riding this wave, dude. Like, this is amazing. I am beyond blessed to be working with the people that I'm working with. Like, my calendar is booked solid for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Not just with Leyline and Zach, but I'm also going out in September with an artist from New York called Ariana and the Rose, and we're doing a West Coast and Southwest tour. And like that, like I get to work with really cool people and have these really great experiences, and I'm finding myself pushed mentally, physically, mixing wise, like I'm expanding and it's amazing. And I get to meet really cool people, and I'm connecting with my industry friends through my travels. Like I get to invite them out to shows and then meet them and hug them in person and not through a screen. And like,
yeah,
I'm so excited to see where this is going to go and to provide help where I can, and to hopefully, you know, make the world a little bit happier while I go, if I can.
That's right. That's right. Well, Willa, thank you so much for taking the time out of your quite obviously very, very busy schedule. Like we scheduled this right as you started with the ley line stuff out on the road. And then it's just been great to see the development of all that, to see you relaunching out into the world and going out there and doing things. Where can people go? We've of course been showing it on air, but this is your chance one final time for shameless self-promotion on the show, Willa. Where can people go to get a hold of you to mix audio for them, whether live, whether, you know, studio stuff or live mixes that they want mixed down for albums, whatever. You do all kinds of great work.
Oh, thank you, Chris. That means a lot coming from you. I really appreciate it. First and foremost, there's my website, willasnow.com, and my contact is listed on the website, but my email is hello@willasnow.com. Pretty easy to remember. And then, of course, I'm on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook, and there are hot buttons for those on the website, but my Instagram is w.snow.audio. So you can follow me and my little adventures around the world. And you can connect with me there. And, you know, feel free, please follow all of my artists that I work with. They are incredible humans that make incredible art. And if we are in town and you want to come hang out at a show, message me. And like, if you want to learn something from me, ask me questions, and I'll do my best to make the time and support you any way I can. So yeah, come out and hang.
Absolutely. Well, Willa, thank you so much once again for taking the time. It means the world to me. I'm so glad to see good people like you out there getting good gigs and working hard. It nothing does my heart better than seeing good people being able to get good work. So I'm glad
likewise,
to see
Chris,
you're one
thank
of those.
You so much.
Well, please do hold the line while we close things out, Willa. While you were online checking out everything from Ley Lines, checking out where you can go, where you can book Willa, willasnow.com. Make sure to stop on by Talking Sound Podcast. That's where you can find all the episodes. We are rebuilding our industry news section right now with all kinds of new RSS feeds from distributors, giving you the latest in gear updates, stuff like that in the industry. While you're checking that out, make sure to stop on by the HC Universal Network. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, and
thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. For more episodes, industry news, and information, visit us online at talkingsoundpodcast.com. Subscribe to the Talking Sound Podcast on Amazon Audible, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Get the latest Talking Sound videos on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Reach TV, or your Roku or Amazon Fire device with the APR TV app. Talking Sound is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great shows and content, subscribe to HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Until next time, watch those meters, gig safely, and keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.